All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Father, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us your wisdom, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. Lord, help us to see eternity, Father. Keep it ever present before us, that we might press on to things higher, things more noble. Again, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Give us words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that was from the foundation, came into the world to give us life and to lead us. I want to open our Bibles to Hebrew chapter 11. Again, verse 1. Just really blessed this morning by the thoughts of the young men, some of them, especially a couple of them mentioned about mothers. I want to just how important mothers are and how powerful a mother can be in the influence of her children and in their home. I want to, that is so, goes so much with what I want to talk about this morning. We'll talk primarily about men, but when a mother has faith, like we're wanting to talk about, it is so powerful in guiding our children's lives. And I just want to encourage you mothers to look past just being a mom. Look past just being a buddy to your children or a friend to your children. To look past that and by faith see what you want for your children. To see what your children in more than just them being babies right now, more than just them being somebody that just wants something or somebody that just wants to be happy right now. Look past those things and see your child as an eternal being that can be shaped, that is looking to you, that you have so much power over their lives. That is a tremendous responsibility that you have. That your responsibility in life is just not to keep your children happy. Your responsibility in life is not just to make sure they're all fed and every need of theirs is taken care of. Your responsibility in life is to shape them. You have that power to actually shape your children. I've seen so many women just completely ruin their children. Completely ruin them. because they wanted to be a nice mommy, because all they cared about was loving their children. They were so selfish that they couldn't stand that their children would think bad about them, or that think that they were too mean, or that they were too hard, and just absolutely poison and ruin their children because they were faithless training their children. It's going to take vision. Not just to teach them rules, but to build character in them. To set up opportunities in their lives, to see things in their lives, to push them to something more. We've heard examples, physical examples of men whose mothers saw more in their children than just wanting them to raise up and have a happy family. They saw great things that they could instill in their children. And they brought it out. Not by pampering, not by going along, not by being soft, but by pushing, by helping their children to get past the little trifling things in their lives and to bring it out. Not just making their lives easy, but making their lives hard. You're not going to build great children. You're not going to have children that have faith if you're just a pushover mother. You're just children teaching your children to be little pushovers. You're teaching them to manipulate. You're teaching them how to use you. You know, we don't like examples whenever we see someone that manipulates someone. We think that's ugly whenever we see someone manipulating someone, trying to twist other people so that their will be done. We hate that. And yet, whenever mothers allow their children to manipulate them, they're training them to manipulate them. They're training them to be manipulators. That's not what God's called you to do. God's called you to be the mother, to be strong. Don't let your children grow up to be little manipulators. You do that by letting them walk all over you. You let them do that whenever you let them push you around. All you're doing is teaching them so that if they just play the cards right, they play the game right, they can get their way. Is that what you want for your children? See that for what it is. Children, if you know you're doing that, stop it. If you're old enough to know that you can manipulate your mother, stop it. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. Help her. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's the assurance of things hoped for. You know, we have a hope of eternal life. We don't know it. We don't know it. We don't know what's going to happen when we die. We don't know that. But we have a hope. We have a hope that what Jesus came to bring to us, that we have a hope in this man that came to this earth that taught us that there's much more. We have a hope that good will triumph. We have a hope that doing right, that there's reward for it.
Amen.
That there's a hope in doing something better. We believe that there's something better. We see evil around us, and sometimes it looks like it triumphs and it wins. And the good is suppressed and often just covered up and so cloudy that it just looks like that it's going to win. But we have a hope that there's much more out there. We have a hope that there's better. And that's what we have. That's our hope. It's nothing guaranteed to any of us. We have a hope. And that hope is why we have faith. We believe it. We have faith in it. We have confidence in it. It's nothing that we're just assured of. It's a conviction of things not seen. You know, on the surface, we see things all around us. But we see something better. We see something farther. And that's what I'm talking about, like with the mothers, with your parents. You can see the surface things. But you need to see past that. You need to see past just the daily comforts that you're offering your children. You see the daily little communion that you might have with them. You need to see past those things to something better. To something better. Those that in the Bible that had faith, they weren't the normal. They weren't the average. They weren't the run of the mill. They weren't just having everything going in this life. Whenever we see the men of faith in the Bible and the women of faith in the Bible, those, they stood out among the crowd. They didn't just roll with everything that was going on. They didn't just keep everything just going smooth. They stood out. This verse that I asked about earlier in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 43. I have not come in my Father's... I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. I have come in my Father's name, and you will not receive me. There's others that'll come in their own name, and you will receive them. I don't know how many times in this life that I've seen over and over that you have a truth and you try to share it with someone. You try to be honest with someone. You try to just be open and just tell the truth. And people will not believe it. They won't believe it. And then someone comes along with the wildest lie that you've ever heard of, and people just flock after them. Over and over again I've seen this. And you just try to be honest and you just try to be real with people and open with people, and they just reject it flatly. And then someone comes along with something crazy and they just go right after that. I mean, look at the political situation now. I mean, there's people that are in there that are just over and over, it's just showing that they're corrupt. They're doing things wrong. They lie. They steal. They do everything wrong. And people just go right along and just believe them like nothing's going on. That's the way people are. That's the way of the average. That's the way of the people that are in the world. Someone comes in the name of the Father. The one sent in the name of the Father, their Creator. And He comes and presents Himself to them. And they reject Him. But then the lemming, the one that comes in His own name, comes with His own idea, comes with His own spirit, the lemmings just get in line to follow Him and just run like a herd of sheep over a mountain. But when the Father, the one that comes in the name of the Father, they reject Him. They don't want to listen to Him. It takes hearing the Father to be extraordinary. And it won't look extraordinary to the world. It'll look terrible to the world. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. You know, these people that he was talking to were the Pharisees. They had devoted their life to studying the teachings of Moses. They knew the law. I wouldn't doubt that they didn't have most of it memorized. So they say some of the scribes had to have it all memorized, and so that they couldn't even make one little dot that didn't belong there. That's how careful and meticulous they were about keeping these laws. Strict. They kept it. And here Jesus comes and says to these people, you don't even know who Moses was. You don't even know anything about Moses. Can you imagine how angry they were when someone would tell them that they didn't know their business? Who is this? I've devoted my life to knowing all about this. And here's this guy comes along and says, you don't know it? For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. The reason they would have believed Moses, because Moses was of the spirit of listening to God. Moses was at one with God. There's only one spirit in the world. There's the spirit of God. And it's only one. Then there's the spirit of the world. And it's many. It's many. But they're still only of one. They're of their own. They're of the spirit of the world. But when you come to the spirit of God, there's one. You're aligned with one, or you're not. And the same spirit that Moses had in the world wasn't about rules. It wasn't about keeping all these laws that the Pharisees had kept and were good at. It was because he heard from God and he listened to God. He had faith. And he followed him. Jesus came of that same spirit. And all these people who were doing all these religious things, just content to go right along, didn't hear it, didn't understand it. They didn't know who is this man that's kind of going backwards against this system, going opposite. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? See, they were looking for how to in all his writings. How to? How do I figure this out? How to? That's what people do today. They pick up the New Testament and they figure out how to, instead of hearing what he wants from me. Instead of hearing. Back to chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. The Bible isn't a how-to book, an instruction manual, that if I just follow all these instructions, that I'll get the whatever I'm building built. It takes no faith to do that. It takes no faith to follow an instruction manual. I mean, put together a deal the other day, and you just put this piece here, A, B, this screw here, this bolt there. There's no faith in that. But the men that heard God, the women that heard God, looked for something higher. They looked for something higher. They weren't just trying to do an instruction manual. If I do it this way and do it everything religiously, everything, well, it'll look fine on the outside. That will work. I'll guarantee you, the Pharisees looked good. We've turned them into monsters today. But when Jesus was walking around and the people saw the Pharisees, they didn't see evil monsters. They saw religious men. And they followed them. Because they came in their own name, just like Jesus said. They had their own deal. And the people followed them. They weren't powerful religious leaders because they were so cunning. They were powerful religious leaders because people loved them. They believed them. They followed them. They trusted them. We've got them painted into just some devious monsters that we would all recognize right away. But the people didn't recognize that. They just followed it. But the men of faith came along, and all through the Bible, faith threw a big monkey wrench in the normal. In the normal religion. It just didn't fit. They kept the rules. They kept the laws. They kept everything. They kept the teachings. Boom, boom, boom. But faith always put a monkey wrench in all of that. And it upset the people. Faith put a monkey wrench in religion. And it always does, and it always will. For it was by faith, the men of old, for by it, by faith, the men of old gained approval by God. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. These men that we read about were righteous men in the middle of an unrighteous world. Righteous men, many times in the middle of a religious world. But there was something different about them. They believed God. Their trust and their faith wasn't in that they had figured God out. Their hope wasn't in the fact that they had figured out God's rule book. Their hope was in God. Their faith was in Him. They saw themselves as they really were. And they just gave themselves to God. It wasn't their duty and their responsibility to set themselves up as the judge, the king, the ruler. They just saw God and followed Him. Just that simple. And they preached. And they gave their message. And some heard it, and some didn't. They were sent as men with the same message that was from the very foundation, just a different man, a different time. Different men, different times, but with the same message. The message that was from the very foundation. The message was, have faith in God. And those who had faith heard them. And those who didn't followed another man with his own message. All these men, chapter 7, or verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he commanded the world, condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Whenever I talk about faith, it's not some pie in the sky thing. You know, there's a lot of people say that faith is just something that you just pretend hard enough and you'll believe it. Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, believed that God would save him. It's not what it says. By faith, Noah went out and got his hammer and got his saw and built an ark. You know, these people that talk about faith as not being works. Well, I'd like to know what building a big old ark would be, there'd be a lot of work involved. Faith will take more work than most people want to put into it. Faith will take more work than most people are willing to put into it. But it's still faith. Faith is one of the hardest works that you'll ever do. But it is works. And to divide those two is following some kind of man's ideas. And the whole world follows after it. It's the most popular thing in the world today to have this imaginary faith. And people go around condemning someone that actually does what it says, and they call that works. Works is when you try to do something other than what God wants you to do. That's your own works. That's your own effort. Whenever you're trying to do something religious other than obey God, other than seeing past what's right in front of you and directing your life that way. By faith, Noah believed God, and he went out and started building an ark. And it condemned the world. It wasn't because Noah was out there judging them all. His faith condemned the world. Him just building that ark condemned them. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. What did he do? By faith, he obeyed by going out. He was called from a safe place, from a secure place, where all of his family was. And he went out, not even knowing where he was going. He just followed what he knew to do. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Does that mean he went out and tried to act as weird as he could so he wouldn't be accepted? No. He went out and did what was right. He did that, went out and just lived in a foreign land. And he stuck out like a sore thumb because he lived by faith. And all those around him, that just goes apart. It goes separate. It goes opposite of the world. The Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of God, when it's followed in this world, will separate you like nothing else. Will separate you like nothing. There's people that try to be different. They try to dress different. They try to do everything different to make themselves stand out. To make themselves stand out. What did Jesus say? He said, whenever they come in their own name, others will follow. People do that. They try to distinguish themselves. Something that sets them out, makes them different than everybody else, so that they can have the appearance of this separation. The only separation that there is faith. Is faith. That's the thing that makes us aliens. That's the thing that makes us strangers and pilgrims in this world. Not my isolationism. Not my better than everyone else-ism. Not my condemning everyone else because they're not what I am. That's the world. That all fits. I mean, look at rich people that go around fluttering around, floating around, thinking that they're much better than they are because they drive a $500,000 car, or have a $500,000 house. What do? When they see someone that's not where they're at, they look down at them. They despise them because they think they're better. What is the difference between someone religious looking down on a sinner than a rich, rich man looking down on a poor person? What spirit is that? Oh, it's all of a sudden God's spirit? That's all of a sudden God's spirit because it's got a little bit of religious taste to it? Because I'm righteous and you're not? We'll look at it, I'm rich and you're not. And it's ugly then, isn't it? It's ugly both ways. Righteous men in the Bible. Let's look at Joseph. Chapter 1, Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." You know what most righteous men would do? They'd say, "Oh," and make a big deal about it and make themselves appear righteous by making a public example so that they could exalt themselves. But Joseph, a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, sent her away secretly. See the difference between a righteous man and a self-righteous man? There's all kinds of righteous men in the Bible. And they acted righteously, not self-righteously. They saw past the little gain that they might receive right now. And they saw past that. They heard God. They did what was right, no matter how it appeared. They walked by faith. And that made a wave in the water much greater than any little religious act that they could do. A man that walks by faith, it's the only thing that's going to please God. It's not all the outward religious things. It's by faith. You parents, the faith is passed from faith to faith, not from tradition to tradition, not from church to church. It's from faith to faith. You want to pass faith to your children. Some of them might not get it. But you've got to have the faith yourself to pass it. You've got to make the effort to see past the little things in your home that just make everybody comfortable. Get a vision to seeing something bigger. I mean, this it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some you being criticized. You're going to have to go against yourself. The just shall live by faith. And without that, there's no way to please the Father. And it ain't going to feel like faith. That's the whole problem. Most people's faith, when they think they have faith, they just feel it all over them. I've got faith. Real faith ain't that way. Real faith is under attack continually. Real faith is every time you stand up, you get knocked back down. Real faith is having the props kicked out from under you. Real faith is being rejected. But for some reason, you get back up and say, I'm going to believe it anyway. Real faith's not all this gushy feeling that I've just pie in the sky. I've got God holding my hand all the time and I'm just walking on sun rays. Real faith is walking on dirt. Real faith is walking through briars and thorns, cloudy days, rainy days, dark days. But you keep going. Real faith is looking up when you don't see anything to look up to. This false faith that everyone wants to believe, that everyone believes, that everyone follows, is because it's come in another name. Men in the Bible who had faith just believed God. And they kept on going. May the Lord add His blessings.
Sure.